Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our finals preview show. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, you got a highlight of the week past?
Oh, honestly, there's been a few. Old Billy Short decided to throw a couple of zingers out, which were actually not too bad. For one, there was talking about the whole au pair thing that's going on.
Yeah.
And Peter Dutton, he's saying, you know, who'd have thought it? A guy from the International Policy Association or whatever it is, trying to turn Australia into a nanny state. It's like,
well done.
I see what he did there, Billy. That's actually not too bad. He was very fucking proud of himself, too.
He probably got it given to him 2 days before. He was like, oh, I can't wait for this one.
I have no doubt he had both hands firmly on his bollocks while he was throwing that one out there.
Do you reckon if you're in Parliament and you've dished that one out, you'd sit down there, wouldn't you? Like, I'm done, guys.
Yeah. Like that. I'm pretty sure Danny McGinley has been hanging out with Bill for a little bit, so maybe he's writing the banners and the zingers. So, a fair play. He's got time off now, Danny, from the banner, so I guess this is a good option for him.
He said the last 2 years off of it, but yeah.
Well, yeah. But yeah, that was a bit of a highlight. Also, I don't know, the amount of people that are buying Nike shit and destroying it now. You've seen that, obviously, with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Great. I mean, like Nike cares that you've already paid for it.
Yeah, let's be honest. If you're in charge of marketing at Nike, you don't give a fuck. You're like, yeah, look, we've got this guy up here because he creates interactions. He cuts through.
Yeah.
Whether you agree with what he does or not, doesn't fucking matter to them.
Everyone's talking about it, and there'll be a couple of people burning shit, and they'll forget about it next month.
There's an exec who thought of that idea right now who is fucking loving life. Yeah. Whether you're buying it to destroy it, buying it to keep it, or just fucking talking
and
about
it. I have seen one other winner out of this, I reckon, and it goes in the wrestlers. There's a wrestler by the name of Titus O'Neil. I'm not sure. I don't think that's his real name, but anyway. He's a 6'8" black dude, mountain of muscle. And he does a shit ton of charity work.
Right.
And he said to all these guys that wanted to burn your shoes and stuff, don't send them to this address. I'm going to donate them to charity. We've got these programs and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, that's what you do, isn't it?
Yeah. It makes more sense, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? But anyway.
Actually, on WWE, The Rock, you see his... Well, you know how all the ex-WWE stars or even current ones do a lot of those Make-A-Wish Foundation things?
Yeah.
Yep.
One young lad who's got inoperable brain cancer or whatever, he said he wanted to meet The Rock. So The Rock turns up, you know, they have a bit of a hangout and all that shit, and, you know, leaves, and the kid dies a little bit later. Right. And so The Rock found out about it.
Happy story.
Yeah. The Rock found out about it and tweeted out, you know, see you later, old mate, blah, blah. Said, oh, by the way, any porn found on his computer, that was mine. We go and hang out. Even the weird fetish shit, that's mine too. He's never seen it. As far as I know, he's never seen a boob. So anything at all embarrassing on his computer, that's me.
Good job. Good job. Nice one.
And he got some porn out of it too, so well done.
I just wish he claimed credit for it. Like the smackdown on that. What was it about? Who was it that did the same thing in the NFL? And... played Xbox with the dying kid and like beat him 69-0.
I don't know, but you could be talking about an episode of the Chappelle Show.
No, this legit actually happened. Yeah. And the thing is, when reporters were questioning about it, he's like, hey, hold up a second. It was 75-0.
Actually, no, you're right. I do remember that now. I can't remember the players, but I'm like, yeah.
He's like, I've got a reputation that's going to outlast your life. I can't just...
It's fine, you're dead.
I can't just let you win and I keep on going.
Anyways. Brenton, you got a highlight.
Josh covered three of them. That's mine was Gil, about Gil's little import-export business going on, human trafficking.
Well, it's not the first, we found out today, it's not the first time he's pulled in a favour.
No,
fucking hell. But the thing is, his excuse is, I do favours people all the time. It's like, so you're admitting you did dodgy shit more often than we thought. and you think that makes it better.
But really, when forget about the politics side of things, Gil McLachlan, when you hear he's pulling in favours from ministers to get his Apollo player from Argentina.
Yeah, Apollo player from Argentina.
No, but...
Like, if that's not code word for cocaine, then I don't know what is.
No, I believe it 100%. That's who Gil is. He's a polo. He loves his polo. He's always talking about, yeah, I'll go off and play the polo. What's it?
So, do you actually know anyone that plays polo or anyone that has played polo ever?
Gil McLachlan, yeah.
Besides that's it.
That's a weird part. Well, his family had a Melbourne Cup winner. So they've been deep into horse breeding.
It's been well known. I mean, it's no secret. He's...
Which one was their horse? The Melbourne
I can't fucking remember. I just remember the stories going around.
Romping Winds.
That when the horse got up, they didn't even buy the jockey a beer.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Probably tried to off him and take his cut.
But the thing I found good about that was he's managed to get Dutton on speed dial. So Dutton knows who he is. Dutton's from Queensland. You've got at least one Queenslander who knows what AFL is.
That's brilliant. That's how we're doing it. One by one, we'll get them in.
It's just going to cost us a couple of nannies or whatever it is. On polo players.
Why not? You know?
I mean, Bob Catter might be a hard convert.
Argentinian polo player, that's a Category B rookie right there.
I mean, the funny thing is that everyone in Nauru's taken up polo in the last week.
Or looking after kids.
That's it. All right, so we may as well. We've only got 9 games of football left for the year. Isn't that amazing?
Is that really all it's going to be? Shit.
9 finals is all there is.
Yep.
I don't know what I'll do with myself after that. But we may as well.
No one cares about cricket anymore.
No, fuck no. So we'll get into the first game, which is the qualifying finals with Hawthorn and Richmond. It's also the only game where the teams have been announced, so we've got something to talk about there. What do you make of your chances, Ben?
Well, I mean, they're looking pretty decent. obviously, with the teams announced today.
An hour ago.
Yeah. Some pretty surprising outs, I thought, with Ellis being dropped. Brandon Ellis being dropped.
Well, Lambert was always going to come in, wasn't
he?
If he was ready. I thought, how many games has Ellis played this year? He would have
I think he got dropped in, I think it was like round 10 or something, then came back. No, maybe he got dropped around 5 and came back around 10.
Yeah, like I say, it'd be about 17 or 18.
Yeah, so he played majority of the season, but was dropped due to, they said it was form. Had a few games in the resis. But he's come back and he's played definitely his role. But I'm guessing this must be a strategy call. They've obviously got a plan with how they're going to line up.
It's a tight squeeze
in
the Tigers 22, regardless.
Yep. And also, this is going to be a fascinating match to see what the coach's strategy is and how it adapts during the game, especially with the Hawks bringing in, effectively two ruckmen with Segler in and
McAvoy. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But
yeah, so for the Tigers, it's going to be apparently thunderstorms tomorrow night too. So this is not going to be a pretty game.
90% chance of rain.
Yeah, and most times playing against another team, I would say that a nice thunderstorm game would be something that Tigers would be advantageous to, and it may still be a little bit, but not as pronounced against the Hawks, who I think will play very well in that sort of situation.
I don't know, because everyone's talking about Hawks like, you know, the short kicking and keeping control of the ball. It's hard in the wet.
Yeah.
And Tigers, they love it a scrap.
I don't know
how they got in the rain during the year, though.
I mean, everyone talks about that, but I don't particularly believe it. I think the Hawks are a good scrappy side. I mean, it's one thing to like to play good football, good clean football, as every team does, but it's very rarely that it turns out that way. And I think that, the Hawks, when put in that situation, I don't think they do badly. I think it's something that they're actually going to play well in. But this is not going to be like a light rain. This is meant to be torrential downpour.
Thunderstorms.
Like, shit. This is a...
I think rain's scheduled for all 4 games this weekend. Too.
Really?
So
yeah, and this is like literally a bad thunderstorm supposed to happen. So what's the policy on lightning around the MCG?
they've delayed games before.
Yep. What about Germany? Once the game started, it's like, well...
Pretty much.
Hot luck now.
I can remember a Sydney Swans game where they went, okay, guys, we're not starting. This is delayed until this thunderstorm goes away.
Well, did they have red flag conducting rods on top of the MCG or something like that? I'm assuming they would. And I know fuck all about lightning, but I'm assuming when it strikes down, it looks for those points if they charge them or some shit.
Well, imagine the light towers would be a primary thing. I mean, there's so
much. Got it up there with the one wood.
There's so much conducting cable up in the towers that it'd have to conduct through there, surely.
Yeah. If it's anything like the measures to keep the seagulls away, I don't think it's going to work, though.
Maybe that's it. Just negatively charge the seagulls. They get fucking charred.
Give it a go.
Maybe let the seagulls in for this game. Because maybe they can just be... They can dive on the grenade for the rest of the players.
95,000 in, they reckon, too.
Yep.
So for all the...
Do they sell standing room for these finals?
Absolutely, they do.
So it could be more.
Fucking oath they do.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I heard the complaint, so, oh, you know, not many of them will be kids. Well, bad fucking luck. Kids are cheaper. The AFL makes more money.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. It's a money decision. But it was funny, that all the reporting about it, mostly last week, where it's the business side of the clubs, like Jeff Kennett, are complaining, whereas the football side are like, this is fucking great.
Yeah. It
means we get an extra day off for the following week. So it's always like that. But at the end of the day, you just rock up and play, don't you?
Yeah, and I think that we really need to, we've tried legitimately, but really need to figure out a criminal way of getting into Scott's transport box. So, I don't know.
It's getting to that point now, isn't it?
I have seen on eBay you can get those little lockpick guns.
Oh, I was going way more brazen than that. Like, is it Alan Scott? Who owns it? Alan Scott?
Let's say it is.
Let's go with Alan Scott. Trucker, Adelaide, marijuana distributor. I'm guessing he doesn't use email much. So I legitimately think we could just create an email address with, you know, Scotch Transport with two T's in the end or something like that.
Yep.
Fly off an email saying, yep, going to jump in the booth this weekend. And I was being, when's Port last in the grand final? Long time ago. It's been...
They're last in the grand final in 07.
20 years. Yep. So yeah, get some waiters in there, chuck some beers on ice, let's hit it up.
Do you reckon you could bluff it even further and just... let the MCG know you're coming and they can actually sort that shit out for you.
This is the deed selling my box to Clicking Balls
can you
LLC.
Send the tickets to this PO box.
Just do a dead drop. Leave them next to the garbage bin underneath the hashtag Go Tigers.
People still fall for the bloody Nigerian scam. Surely someone's going to fall for that shit.
Oh, we can just rock up and... unfortunately, I don't think we can rock up and act like we belong. Because I don't know if you saw on the TV a couple of weeks ago, like even Buddy Franklin got questioned on the way in.
Did he?
Yeah.
It was at the SCG, so it's not like they knew him.
This is true.
Yeah.
Well, that's like they didn't know Brassy at the SCG either, did they? So
that is one of my stories.
They're very strict in their security, which should be worlds apart from Melbourne.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're not putting this podcast up now because this is evidence.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Oh, if they listen to it, good. There's an extra number.
True, yeah. People listen to the cops after us.
Yep.
Yeah, but there's no point doing a brazen crime like that if you can't brag about it and have Hollywood feature made about it.
Yeah, I reckon it could happen. You mentioned with the Hawthorn naming a couple of ruckmen. I think it's a bit sus, that the team that Hawthorn have named, because they've got two ruckmen plus a couple of backup ruckmen and part-time ruckmen.
Maybe they're just stoked they've got two ruckmen. They haven't had...
They haven't had that
all
year. They
haven't had one ruckman for years.
I reckon there's
a few flus and a few hamstrings happening in the next 24 hours.
I think there's going to be a laid out. I am nearly certain there's going to be a laid out. Because obviously we had the VFL run around on the weekend.
Yep.
And some blokes got dropped from the round 23 team playing the VFL and others coming back and whatnot.
Yep.
But David Mirra didn't play in the VFL. Yep. He's named as an emergency. Segler and Sicily are both coming back from long-term injuries.
Yep.
And I reckon one of them is going to be laid out for David Mirra. If it's Segler, it means Mirra's playing up forward, and he's been trialling up forward in the last couple of weeks in the VFL.
Yeah.
And if it's Sicily, he plays down back. Because Sicily's coming back from a broken wrist, and I heard somebody say that he hasn't been handballing. Like, they've been watching training.
Yep.
Got the clearance from the surgeons and all that, but he has not been handballing on his right hand.
I'm all for it. I'm sick of handballs. There's too many of them that happen.
Kevin Bartlett's going to turn up and just think if this is a game worth watching.
Just start applauding. So I reckon that Sicily might be laid out. That's I've got no inside knowledge. I'm just reading the team
sheets. Laid out.
Well, I saw him at the pub just before. He was half pissed, so he must be a bit laid out.
Well, I can say, if he's only half pissed, then he's probably, that's how he gets himself into form. If he's fully pissed, then we've got worries. Half
it's pissed, Mad Wednesday, cunts. He's himself.
I know for a fact he wasn't, because if he had time off, he'd be at home playing Fortnite.
That's very true. He's probably geared up for the final that was on the weekend. You know what I mean? He's been inspired. He's like, fuck it, quitting football. Well, mate, you make 250K a tournament in Fortnite. So
good enough, yeah.
Yeah. Well, why not? I mean...
You can make an impact in Madden tournaments.
Well, I remember watching a podcast with one of the professional gamers, and it was crazy how sort of very a finite scope of your...
career?
Your maximum potential of what you're capable of is just down to age and how quick your reflexes are. Once that's over, then you're done. So you've got like 4 years and that's it.
It's like female gymnasts.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, you can get a lawsuit afterwards because every motherfucker's touching those girls.
Well, they'll end up with RSI and everything because their forearms are fucked, which is why I think AFL teams with their recovery and sports scientists can actually extend those careers of the esport
yep.
Athletes.
Yeah, let's go with that. Why not?
Competitors, athletes. Yep. Well, they can fucking call athletes. They deserve it.
Why not? Yeah, it's like this. We used to suffer from a very similar affliction called Nintendo 60 sore thumb.
Yep.
Where you'd play for too long. Yeah, your thumb would be fucked.
And your eyes start watering. I used to do that one too.
Yeah. And that's when you're like, you're on a level, you can't just can't crack it. So you've got to turn it off for half an hour, come back, and first go, you've done it.
That's it. But anyway, back to the footy. I think that in the dry, Hawthorn had a chance. Like, if both teams play at their best, Tigers win comfortably.
Yeah.
In the dry, I think Hawthorn had a chance. In the wet, I think they got even less of a chance. But all the talk around, you know, Hawthorn's chances have been centered around Clarkson.
Yeah.
I think that says how far behind they are just on players.
Yeah, true. But I think in this sort of torrential downpour game, it's not so much a... Well, it's obviously not so much of a linking up team game. But yeah, I'm still not sold on the Hawks being not good or not as good in the wet.
Yeah.
I think they've got that small little players. I think they... Actually, we're going to trades later, aren't we?
Yeah. Poppy re-signed, though. So
he did today.
That's what I was about to say. And fucking, let's talk about now, then.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's in the team.
He's not a trade.
He earned it, too. He was one of the free agents. And it looked like they were saying, mate, I think you might, you know, if you're getting an offer elsewhere, it might be all right to go for it.
That's what they said to Roughhead, didn't they?
Clarkson came out and said, look, we'll have a talk about it. But they've backed away from that a little bit since. But I think with Poppy, like, when they realise that Cyril's not coming back, he stepped up.
Not for the Hawks, at least, anyway.
No, he's not coming back.
Wouldn't that just be a spear through your heart?
I don't know. I've still got a little bit of inside knowledge that there's a big story that everybody is sitting on about Cyril. A big story.
Well, Mel Michael retired once and came back.
He came back 2 months later.
This is true. Michael Schumacher.
Well, I don't know which Cyril story you've got, but there was one where, God, who was it? He said... Ronnie Burns was on, what's the SBS footy show? Mungrel. Ronnie Burns was on it and said, he's been talking to Luke Hodge, you know, he might be going to Brisbane.
Yeah.
And Luke Hodge went, nah, I haven't been talking to him. It's not true.
You want to come back for a reason, not come back to struggle.
Well, I mean, what does he want to come back for? I mean, what else has he got to do?
I think Hawthorn are just sending fertile women his way to try and get a bit of a breeding ground. She's ovulating.
Do they have an AFLW team?
We got a VFLW team.
Right. Well, was that good enough? Can you claim them? Because
no, we can't.
Could be some cannon fodder. Well, just send them up there.
Although I think that there's a lot of... we did get a lot of AFLW in our VFL team because we actually pay our VFL players.
Ah, okay. Right. But anyway. I don't know. This is dangerous with having AFLW and AFL teams under the same banner. There could be some, like, all you need is one Hitler in charge of the club, and you've got a breeding program that could cross into illegal.
Eugenics.
Yeah.
Some Yao Mings coming out of
that. I don't know why you're looking at Hawthorn when you say that. I mean, Jeff Kennett's been... Okay, yep. No, yep, no, yep. I understand now. Yeah, okay, got it.
Loves a fucking beer hall rally.
All right. So you're sticking with the Tigers, but you're trying to talk up the Hawks a little bit so you're not so disappointed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep.
Well, I mean, the good thing is it's great that we're going into a second chance final because it's like, I have to actually work that night. So I'm like, I can't watch it live. I'll watch it afterwards. But I'm like, I'm not that disappointed because it's a second chance. It's not the finale about it.
That's what a second chance means.
I think the only vulnerability Richmond have is they've got a very selfish full forward who kicked probably about 6-7 goals more than
he
should have in the season. He should have passed those ones off, I thought.
He's going to have some competition next year. We'll get into that.
But no, it's for Richmond, easy.
Yeah, I think, like I said, Hawthorn have a slight chance against Richmond, and Hawthorn also have a slight chance of going out in straight sets. It's that kind of year.
I don't think so. Like, I think with the way that this top eight, especially the bottom half of it, from 8 to 5, has formulated, I think that they match up. There's not like one team. You can't play the proxy game where I beat them, therefore I'm better than that team, and they beat that team, therefore I'm better than them.
The old potato of parity.
Yeah, it's almost like fighting where you got matchups that just work out well and other ones which don't work out so well. So it's going to be dependent on who you're going to actually play in that second round if it gets to that point.
Which leads into the next game, which is Melbourne-Geelong. So Geelong are 8th, and they're probably the best 8th team we've seen for a long time.
For sure.
And
I would say ever. I'm going out. Going big. I would say ever.
Yeah, why not?
The best ever eighth place team.
And I think they've still got a few players out that they want to get back in. Radigalia being one of them.
Yeah.
I think Narkle was playing in the VFL, but didn't really set it alight last weekend.
Where I'll tell you what, with how many midfielders they've got and how many midfielders they're trying to recruit and how many midfielders are allegedly going to Geelong.
They like midfielders.
A wet weather game certainly suits them.
Yeah. And I think they are a bit of a rush kick at times. So it is going to help them.
And they seem to hit their straps at the right time as well.
Yeah.
So I think they're looking red hot for the finals.
This is what the lead up looks like. Because everyone's going to talk about the ideal lead up to a finals campaign. If Melbourne win, you want hard games leading into the finals.
Yeah.
If Geelong win, you want easy games leading into the finals.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who wins, they're going to say, well, it's because of their lead up, isn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah.
And the fact is, with a week off in between, it means fuck all.
It means nothing. Yeah. I mean, it's time to just rest up the knees or something.
Yeah.
But it's still, I don't know if, I mean, obviously I've never played at that level, even close.
Yep.
But I'd assume that 2 weeks would almost be consuming about thinking about this game that's coming up and it's the finals and it can almost put the pressure on you.
For a lot of players, especially Melbourne, who I'm going to say 3/4 of their side are playing their first final.
Yeah.
You know, probably all except their imports and Nathan Jones.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's like maybe in this week you really need a collective minds to really get your team shit together. I've heard they've got some vacancies, so.
Viney's back in though, isn't he?
Maybe.
I hope he's a player that I really enjoy watching.
Well, you say you haven't seen much of him this year.
No.
And they are desperate to get him back in.
Yeah.
I still think he's a maybe. I mean, they've said, no, he's cherry ripe, he's going to go.
Yeah.
But until he runs out on Friday night, I'm not going to...
I remember seeing his interview. And you know some players that you can tell they're talking it up, but they're kind of not expecting it.
Yeah.
He was on fire. Like, he was burning up with desperation to get out there. That doesn't mean he's right. Because a player like him, and, you know, 99% of AFL players... they'll get broken legs and try and get on the ground.
He's definitely, what was he out for?
Foot.
He was, right.
Yeah. He's definitely the kind of player that when the coach wants to know if he's right, go ask the doctor. Don't ask the player.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. And I think he had the same foot injury that James Hurd had.
Was his toe, apparently.
Toe, plantar fascia,
yeah.
A foot. Yep. You know, some bone in there. And, you know, probably doctors and methods are better than... you know, 20 years ago when James Hurd did it. But Hurdy always said, this is one of those ones where you fuck all you can do. Just let it get right.
Yep.
Come back too early, just make it worse. He's going to come back too early regardless.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're laid up all summer, what does it matter?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, look, he'll probably re-injure it in this finals campaign, but he's okay with that.
Just makes for a greater story. 20 years' time,
good
doesn't
doctor,
it?
Like, some cortisone.
I mean, you know, I played through blisters a couple of times, so I think it's pretty much the same thing, yeah?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I actually had, I'm pretty sure I had plantar fasciitis when I was younger and very, very active, but because I'm a flat foot, I was always playing basketball on hardwood floors, which is constantly panning up and down, But I remember, swam as well, so I remember swimming one time, and just the soles of my feet just fucking killed. It's like in the cramp in your hamstring, you know, where it just buckles you. You just ball up. I couldn't even swim. Like, that's how painful it was. And there was no release. So, I mean, it sounds like a bullshit injury, but that shit, hoit.
Yeah, not the same thing. The other thing with flat feet is on wooden floorboards, like a court, when you're a little bit sweaty, you get suction cupped to the bottom.
Exactly. That's the reason why I couldn't dunk.
Yeah, that was the reason. That's what it was. Yeah. Obviously... if Melbourne are going to win this game, it's going to be out of the ruck because you've got Maxi Gawn going against the third gamer, Abbott.
Yeah.
He's a mature age recruit, but he's still a third gamer.
And it's Max Gawn.
And it's Maxi fucking Gawn.
Yeah. One of the guys, then, if he's not a Brownlow favourite, he's up there.
I've been tipping
only because of Mitchell.
I've been tipping him since mid-year. I reckon he gets a lot of votes. Every time he plays well, he gets 3 votes.
But when you think of best 22, who they're missing, is Aaron Black best 22 for Geelong?
Geelong? No.
Yeah,
no. I mean, Nakai Cockatoo.
He's not best 22 for Gold Coast.
Reece Stanley, I mean.
I think he's going to play.
Reece Stanley is, especially if it's going to be wet, I feel like you need those fast running players. If you've got a tall person that can run fast.
Well, Reece Stanley's bad with a. Yeah.
Oh, Blitzoff, sorry.
Reece Stanley's out with a calf. So he ain't got speed.
I think they're going to name him, but they're worried because he does get injured a lot. And Zach Smith is their other backup ruckman, but he's running around in the twos and playing shithouse.
Yeah.
So that's why Abbott is going to be shouldering most of the
work. Is Zach Smith the actual worst player to come out of Gold Coast? Leave Gold Coast and play with on the team?
No, there's got to be others, but that's a good one. I'll think of some.
Hit us up. Let us know.
but Twitter. On the flip side, Melbourne missing...
Lever, Hogan.
Lever, Hogan, hey, Stunt.
Leave a Hogan, stop there.
Yeah, that's
enough.
That's tough.
Billy Stretch, Don Tyson, Billy Bernie Stretch. Vince.
Yeah. Well, Bernie Vince, is, they reckon he might be close. He's coming back from an AC.
Yeah.
He might be playing VFL next weekend.
But even before his AC, he wasn't the same Bernie Vince from first season
he's
in Melbourne.
He's already announced his retirement. I mean,
but how old is he? He's not that old. Like,
30. I think it's the mileage.
Yeah.
But it's one of those ones where he's announced retirement. So for him, he's like, well, fuck it.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
I'll have a run. If the coach says I'm good, I'm going to play. And if it blows up, then it blows up.
Yeah. I hope he does, because I like Bernie Vince.
Yeah, he seems like a good bloke.
Yeah. Like, doesn't mind, you know, stirring the shit. But he seems like a general good person off the field.
Where's he actually from? Like, I mean, no where did he grow up? He's local, yeah?
No idea.
No idea.
I know, obviously, he was drafted to Adelaide.
He spent lots of times going out with Paddy Dangerfield and Tex Walker. That's got to take some miles off the clock
that
there.
That would do,
on the clock there.
That'll do it. So where do you see? Because I think this is the hardest game to tip all weekend.
Well, if this was a regular season game, it'd be Melbourne every day.
Despite the fact that Geelong beat them twice this year?
Yeah, despite that. But where they're sitting now, but being finals and Melbourne having, like you said, fuck all finals experience, and Geelong having the most celebrated midfield of all time, probably.
Yeah,
go close.
You kind of have to pick Geelong.
They've got a lot of experience in there, don't they? I reckon so as well, because it was the game against Sydney a couple of weeks ago where I wrote Melbourne off, but they had stage fright.
Yeah.
However, they sorted it out the next 2 weeks, gave GWS a spanking and beat West Coast over there. However, finals is different.
But this is the MCG as well, and I would hope
90,000.
I would hope there'd be predominantly more Melbourne supporters than Geelong supporters.
There has to be.
There has to be. And I feel like that
the
momentum,
MCC will be full.
Well, that momentum that they can ride off, I feel will be like the 19th man on the field. I think if they're in the... If Geelong are ahead by 3 goals after the first quarter, I feel like they can blow it out in the second and then it's done.
Yep.
But if Melbourne keep that to a fighting chance, and that means restricting goals, especially on the defensive end for Geelong, because they will just run all over you. Restricting goals, even if it's not a pretty game, if they're in there within 2 goals, even if it's like one goal 17 to 10 points, I feel like they've got a chance of getting there in the end.
It is just going to have to be a swarm.
Yeah,
if Melbourne are to get up. And look, I think Melbourne's the better story.
Yeah,
and fuck Geelong.
Yeah,
so you do want to see that just making
love
finals.
To see Melbourne. I'd love just to see Melbourne, finals, Hawthorne, Collingwood, Richmond in like the last 4 survivors of the season.
Really?
That'd be amazing.
Nah.
Well, it literally can't happen, but
that's all. Yeah, that's not that in the way of dreams.
Yeah.
I just think to the intensity of a final match and the hardness that happens, I don't see many Melbourne players that can match that. Like to Viney's one of them and Jones as well.
Petrarca.
But I don't think Geelong are a hard team.
Can he do that while replacing Hogan? Is what I'm asking.
No, but I mean, he's not going to either, though. He's going to play in midfield.
We'll have to move up forward a bit, too, though.
I reckon they might switch around a little bit, and I reckon you're going to see McDonald up forward a fair bit.
Now, he's one player that I think does have a bit of hardness about him, and he can. Obviously, I think he's with the top few contested possessions for the season, so he obviously knows how to put his head over the ball a bit. But I don't think they have the ability to get up from a contest when they get knocked down as quickly as John. Mainly because Selwood gets knocked down every second.
I think they've just got more doubts in themselves than what Geelong would have for a very confident team.
It certainly looked like it in that Sydney game, but they did turn it around.
Yeah.
And that's, like I say, but it means that it's in there. It's
this is where Jordan Lewis and those players who have got that experience will come in and actually get around the team. Well, is he not playing?
Yeah, no, Jordan Lewis is playing. But what do you mean Jordan Lewis and those players? Because he's the only
one. No, Bernie Vince, did he play for the Crows and they were good?
Maybe. I don't know. But again, he won't be out there.
Yeah, well, all right, this game comes down to Jordan Lewis. So Geelong.
And I'm going to without even checking, I reckon Jordan Lewis has a winning record against every team except Geelong.
Yeah, probably right.
And probably Hawthorn too, of course.
Yeah.
I want to tip Melbourne, but
I can't.
God, they make it hard.
Yeah, they do. And I think with it being that wet, one of the important things is it takes Hawkins out of the game, which is good for Geelong.
Yep. He
had two good games for the whole year.
He still kicked 50 goals.
I mean, they were back-to-back games as well, so we got a bit of hype around him. Let's not get too carried away.
50 goals with Dangerfield, Selwood and Ablett kicking to you. You should be 120.
You did say he had two good games, but I think two of them were against Melbourne.
Yeah, fair call. But, I mean, it's going to be in the wet. Yeah, maybe Hawkins laid out.
Who mans up on him?
No one. Fuck him. Just let him sit in the goal square.
It's going to be a rotation.
He'll Jenkins himself out of the game.
I hope so.
It's like in the finals. Yeah, Jenkins sat in the goal square. Ball never came down there, champ. So yeah. Good luck with that.
You could probably Jedi mind trick him, I reckon.
Yeah.
I'm actually
a Jedi, so.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think you can. I reckon you could just go, you are, these are the choices. What? Cows. And then off he goes. All right, so I'm tipping Geelong with my head and Melbourne with my heart.
I'm tipping Geelong with my head. I don't have a heart.
Yeah, no, Geelong.
Geelong. All right, on to Saturday. We got the All Sydney Derby or Derby. Or I don't know what they call it up there.
Battle of the Bridge.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Depends. If it's in GWS, it's fucking derby, mate.
Yeah. It's in GWS. It's, what the fuck's this game? Yeah. GAFL? Yeah.
Pens are out, so fuck it.
Swans and the Giants at the SCG.
The hell knows how this game is going to go?
Well, Buddy's going to come back and Parker's going to come back. And it sounds like about 8 injured players for GWS are coming back.
Yeah.
I am guaranteeing that by the fourth quarter, GWS will have 2 on the bench at best.
Yeah.
Well, the deciding factor for me here is Deledio.
Of course it is.
If he plays.
If he doesn't play, then GWS are looking good.
Poor lad.
Can't wait till the reunions happen.
Poor guy.
Do you reckon Richmond will just pick him up? Just as a favour?
I would hope so,
Wouldn't it be horrible this year on the dais if Hardwick does a Bevo? And, instead of giving it to Bob Murphy, he gives it to fucking Deledio on a different team.
I'd like to see him put a pink top on him and be like, you're our new runner, champ.
Oh, that could happen.
I think. Chuck him in there. He'll be alongside some great Richmond Tiger names.
Yeah.
Daryl Waitman. Waitman's one of our runners, I'm pretty sure.
And he probably the fuck you do after, yeah, sure after three quarter time when he breaks down.
Three quarter time? I reckon you've done it right.
Yeah, as long as he makes our games are finished by then.
If you've carried him through to three quarter time, you've got your money's worth out of it.
After that, all you tell is Dusty go forward and that's it.
He makes Daniel Wells look like a Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
Almost.
Almost.
All right. So is GWS risking too much then? I mean, we've
first, there's going to be rain in Sydney this weekend.
A little bit, yeah. There's a chance.
Yep.
Well, if you're GWS, this is all or nothing for GWS because we'll get into trades, but the stories are they've got to blow a couple of players out of the water because they've stacked it to win the flag now.
It's an elimination final too, so there's no next week.
Yeah. So they've got to go all out. It just comes down to Phil Davis on Franklin, really.
Well, he is one of the best players, matchups for Franklin.
Yeah.
And last time, I think he got a back injury in the first 5 minutes.
Yep.
And then Franklin
that wasn't
went
too
went
long
nuts.
Ago either, was it?
No, it was right around 21, 22, something like that.
Yep.
And Buddy went nuts. Yep. So if he can keep fit, I mean, that takes a lot of scoring out of their hands.
Yeah.
Toby Green back from injury. That's a different dimension, but
look, you dose him up with
just so injuries.
Whatever the fuck stops shit hurting.
Yeah,
and he's a massive in because I feel like he's a player that thrives on this attention and this big crowds.
Oh,
and
oh, I agree.
Absolutely.
This week can be turbo cunt and just dominate.
I think that's why this is the game I'm looking forward to the most. As you know, a supporter with no team in the finals, you look for games with matchups that you enjoy. And you've got, Davis on Franklin, you've got Parker coming back.
Parker, Hanbury, and Shields all in a circle of
with
1 meter.
Kelly in there as well.
Throw Kelly in, Callan Ward in.
Ward. I think Callan Ward is under talked about. Like, he is a spectacular player.
Oh, he's captain for them, but their best midfielders are just a little bit younger than him, but he's still a fucking gun.
Yep.
He's a beast. There's so many good things to watch in this game that I wish we had the down-the-ground view all the time, just so you could see everything that's going on.
Like, seriously, fix the fucking the actual way that they show the game on TV because it ruins the whole experience.
Well, I remember when pay TV first came in, and they're like, they've got these 4 buttons, you can select your views and everything and blah, blah. It never fucking happened.
No, because you're always stuck in what is immediately happening as opposed to what's happening around the ball, which is more important.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sydney, I feel like it's going to be a lot of weight on their shoulders. But like I was saying before, where they're stacked a team to try and get into the finals. But I feel like that their list management has been one of the better ones for the last 10 or so years, where They've always been in there fighting for finals, not even fighting for finals, almost certainties. And they topped up players that have been very, very handy. And they don't bleed a whole lot of players that are useful at that time. Like, yeah. obviously, they're going to lose Hanbury end of this year. Chances are. They've lost a few other ones. But picking up Buddy, like, just their actual selections. I don't know if that's because of their proximity of, what's the Sydney league called? Is it, they operate in NEAFL?
NEAFL?
Yeah. They have, used to have rights over that, right?
They still have, obviously, academy rights.
And, yeah, it's split.
Yeah, but they topped up players who were almost first 22 over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I think they've done incredibly well off rookie drafts as well. They seem to just pick them up. Obviously, their academies are going to be the frontline stuff, but, you know, so be it.
But especially playing finals year in, year out, you give those young kids experience that you can't pay for. And they're getting that from pretty much their first season all the way through. So I feel like they're a team that are always primed for finals.
Yeah.
So it's tough to pick against them, but I don't know. GWS, are they the finals, you know, flops?
Yeah. Well, they made the last two prelims, and I think the injury list this year is just, it's too big.
Yeah.
It has to be. It's just too big.
Well, the list in general is too big.
That too. But and I think, you know, one raindrop puts it in Sydney's favour.
Yeah, I completely agree. Completely agree. I think, depends how wet this game is going to be. It's a clean game. GWS, I feel, have a red-hot chance.
And less chance for injury.
Might not pick them, but if it's in the wet, I just feel like Sydney have got that experience. They got that hardness. They're bigger-bodied and they're older. I feel like they can really take this game by the horns and make them play it.
And it'll slow GWS down.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
And Josh, who you got?
I have to think a bit about this one. I mean,
well, that's the last half
hour. Talk us through it.
Well, is Kelly more likely to leave if they win or lose? That's pretty much what I'm coming down to.
If they lose, it means the Kelly talk can start earlier.
Yeah, this is true. It's true. But if they win, then he's done everything he's got to do there, and he can fuck off. I'm on GWS. I think I'm going for youth over experience, and plus, you know, fuck it. I know more excitement comes out of GWS than Sydney for me.
Fair enough. Yep. It would be cool. Certainly across the board, I reckon that's true too. And the final qualifying final is West Coast hosting Collingwood over there. Well, West Coast lost their last game over in the West.
When was that?
Against Melbourne, round 22.
Yep.
But I do think that, you know, their top two was already sewn up then.
Yeah.
And there's a... I think Josh Kennedy is just about guaranteed to come back in.
For sure.
That's going to be too much for that back line.
That's what I think too. And, I mean, you can never really count Collingwood out because they've got so many young players that you don't know enough about that they can surprise you and they can turn anything on.
And they have been all year.
Yep. So it's really hard to understand how they're going to react in certain situations because it's almost unpredictable for Nathan Buckley, let alone for the viewer. So I feel like they've always got a chance just because they've got unpredictability with players that it's very hard to strategize for.
Yep.
So this is going to be one where I feel that Collingwood, as long as they're within, you know, like 4 or 5 goals, they've always got a chance because they finish strong. But West Coast, I mean, it's over in West Coast. They've got everything all right for them. But obviously still lots of outs.
Yeah.
This is tough. This is really, really tough. Yeah. I feel like that Collingwood might have just that internal belief, almost that young naivety that you can beat the world.
Yep.
That might get them across the line in this match.
Oh, Collingwood will get absolutely blitzed, which is what I'd love to say, but they're actually a much better team than that.
Yeah. And they're an exciting team. Like, pretty much now, I was talking to one of my mates who's a Collingwood supporter, and I was like, you know...
Here's your first fucking problem.
I'm like, you know what? It's weird. Collingwood, they're a team that everyone loves to hate, but now... Like, it's really impossible to hate them because you don't know any of the players.
I still hate them, but I love to watch.
Yeah, and they're playing exciting footy.
Yeah.
And so now it's just everyone hates Eddie Maguire. He's like, yeah, we hate Eddie Maguire.
It's a bit like Conor McGregor. You might hate the cunt, but geez, he can fight.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Yep.
How's this for exciting, you say, about Collingwood? Do you have in the midfield Pendles, Sidebottom as experience, DeGoey and Treloar as your youth kicking down to Stevenson.
Crazy.
It's not fucking bad.
That's crazy.
However, their back line's going to be trouble because Howe's coming back and they've still got, you know, Myershek, or whatever his name is, against Darling and Kennedy.
Yep.
That's trouble.
I'm guessing it's not raining in the west.
Yeah, it is less likely, but it's still a chance of rain.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an interstate trip, which Collingwood don't do.
Don't do very often. No.
No.
I think they haven't been to Perth since 1947, something like that.
It's that fucking Vic Bias. And the Tigers can't get a free kick, but...
I got a feeling the last time they played West Coast over there for in a final, they ended up in a draw. I reckon.
Really? Well, that won't happen.
In about, a final, in a
about
draw.
About 2005 it was.
Really? What was the rules at that time?
5 minutes each way.
Oh, right. That's a shit rule.
Yeah. Well, that's the rules from here on in.
Yeah.
Everywhere else now. I remember
do love that at the end, like it's 5 minutes each way, then onto golden goal, then onto...
that's where
best accuracy, and then it's like toss a coin.
Yeah, it's literally toss a coin, right?
Yeah, there is toss a coin in there.
I remember that game in particular because I had a dream, and I put a bet on that Collingwood would win by 2 points. One point, and I was out by 1 point.
Didn't you have a dream that Saints won the grand final one year and Saintly won the Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, but I did. That was about 95 or something. But I've gone back and I probably heard that there was a course called Saintly, and then that just entered the dream. So it's probably not that as miraculous as I thought it was at the time.
Yeah, I mean when you explain your own tricks, they never are.
You're thinking maybe you're not psychic.
Well, I did call it the day of the race, but I was obviously too young to put a bet on.
Well, we were never too young to put a bet on. What are you talking about?
To put a sizable bet on. Yeah, I picked up $15 or something. But anyway.
Yeah.
So you're both thinking Collingwood in a
shit. No, I'm on West Coast.
I'm actually going Collingwood. I think they're going to do it.
I think West Coast. I think they're Kennedy back, and he's going
to
be fine.
Yeah, it fucking hurts me to pick Collingwood in any game. As if you listen for the whole season, you would be well aware of. But yeah. I don't know. I just think they're going to do it.
I think the whole gaff
chat, despite me, pretty much. Maybe I'm going for the double bluff. Maybe. If I pick him, maybe that'll change everything.
I think the whole gaff incident set the narrative, and that's obviously still a distraction at the moment, but I just can't see them getting beaten over there, especially when Collingwood aren't a frequent traveller. So I think that disruption to their regular routine is going to have a greater effect on their younger players, and they depend heavily on their younger players. So look, I wouldn't say they're no chance, because if they were no chance, I'd fucking definitely say that. But no, I'm on West Coast.
See, I think the opposite. I think that if anything... And I mean, I have absolutely nothing to back this up, no statistical research or any science, but I feel like young players are less like shaken by structure or routine because they don't actually have it. They haven't had it. And so I feel like they're the ones that are... that. Sometimes there's people that are too dumb to realise that they're dumb. Yeah. And so they're that naive. They don't realise. They don't think about it enough. Whereas the older players, they've been through it all and they're like, all right, this is how I have to do this. They try and put a structure in place. And really, sometimes just let it be.
Yeah, but I think you're basing that on your upbringing in where you moved out of home at, 18?
Yep.
Yeah, these guys are still living at home at 23, pulling in $200,000 a year.
Yeah, so that's a fair point.
If mum ain't making your banana pancakes in the morning of game day, maybe you're going to be disrupted.
And I think you're on unders on the $200,000, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I think, what's the entry level? Is 150 or something for a rookie?
Something like that. I think it's about 180.
Well, maybe they're just not up for contract negotiations yet.
Collingwood players too, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Minimums mean nothing.
Yeah, they look forward to going back to the locker every night because that's where the brown bag is.
Actually, it's funny you mention that. It's something I meant to bring up with the Hawthorn one.
I hope the mum?
I hope that James Warp will spend some time on Dusty.
Yep.
Dusty will smack him. Like, he'll beat him, but
it's experience.
He'll go, mate, that's what you need to be.
Yep.
It'll be a great experience.
He'll come back next year with a shaved head, some tattoos.
Dusty's 200th too this week.
200th game, yeah. Yep. And it's Sean Burgoyne's 200th Hawthorn game.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'd love to see him just run through the banners together.
I think there'd be some respect between the two. I don't think Dusty respects many people, but...
I think Dusty respects everyone. I think he respects everyone. I think he's in the very luxurious position where you don't disrespect him.
Yes,
so he can respect everyone, doesn't give a fuck, because...
He doesn't care.
Everyone knows where the chip's going to fall if shit gets serious.
Yep. Actually, speaking of that, do you reckon he could get on to Gill and say, look, I've got a couple of au pairs I need to come in from New Zealand?
Well, Dane Swan's already tried it, hadn't he?
Yeah, he did.
We spoke about that last week.
Yeah, I feel like Dusty would have already exhausted those avenues. I feel like he's got some people that are maybe a bit more important than Gill and getting things in and out of the country.
Maybe not important, but effective.
Yeah. The problem is, it's usually like, let's not go there. Let's not worry about
that. I think we got it from context.
Yeah, that was too far.
Speaking on the, you know, respect people, I saw a Harley at the front of a tattoo shop the other day.
Did you? There is Jake King.
I was going to say that. P-S-H-U-P. I don't know for a fact it's his bike. Pretty fucking sure it is.
He owns a couple. Tattoo shop.
Yeah, he owns a couple, or he's mixed up in a couple.
Well, I think he was just picking up some cash.
I think there's one in South Melbourne. There's one in, was it Brunswick or Northcote or somewhere on High Street or Brunswick Street?
I know the one in South Melbourne because it's near the radio studios.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there's plenty around there. And
I've seen him at the footy a couple of times this year, Jakey. Loves the crowd, he does.
Fucking love Jakey King. How's the crowd? Like, he is almost like rockstar walking down into the Tigers section.
He's the Tigers version of Bob Hawke.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
And skulls a beer.
Yep. I tell you what, I could see Labour Minister Jakey King.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, if you line him up with the union leaders, he would not look out of place.
It'd be Jackie Lambie and Jakey King on the same ticket.
I tell you what, he'd probably give her one too, just for the hell of it. And she'd probably be more than happy to join in.
They speak the same language. Hey, fucking guys, how you going?
He's the people's champion.
He is.
All right.
Sign your name on that, love.
For those teams that are not in the finals, one thing does annoy me, the teams that are not in the finals.
Or a team that's in the finals.
Just start the postseason trade talk already, but you're fascinated by it all year round, Josh, so you're not one of those.
Hey, no, fuck. I've been on the ball from day one because I knew what this season was.
Should this be part two of the podcast, divide it up, because it's going to go for a long time.
Oh, no, we'll wrap this one up in 15, I reckon.
No, I mean Josh's part, yeah. Just that.
But it is like...
You guys can fuck off, I'm good.
You're not a trade week bandwagoner. You're there all year round.
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah. I'm about the wheeling and dealing. So, pretty much because I'm an eternal optimist. And this is the time when everyone's feeling the same level of optimism that I did from round one.
Yeah, well, nothing much has changed from last week. Polak is still...
He's still a Polak.
Still guaranteed for North.
Well, actually, I did find that funny because Warren Treadray, you know, the Walkley Award-winning Warren Treadray journalist.
Yeah.
Came out and said, oh, he's not definitely going to North. There's been a fucking super offer from St Kilda. And he said it was 50 grand more a year. Now, the thing with that is he's talking his ass because the Saints came out and said, And secondly, North finished ninth, Saints finished 16th. Is 50 grand enough to drop seven spots?
Okay, so when you've already been getting probably 200 grand more than you're worth.
Yeah. And Saints are a good chance to finish 17th next year.
Yeah,
I mean... And I make no shame of my bias.
You shouldn't say North finished ninth. They finished first in Division 2.
Yeah.
Which is still better than last in Division 2, which is what everyone tipped.
They're up for promotion. Geelong, relegated next year.
That's it.
It's one of those ones where, the same with Josh Kelly, if you start of the season, last year, everyone went, who the fuck's he? And now everyone knows who Polak is. So I think whoever our marketing department is, they're doing great for other teams.
For other teams, yeah. I think everyone knew who he was. They just didn't think he was worth that much, and they still don't.
Yes, this is very true.
But it's funny. I was watching the AFL website doing their wrap-up of Port Adelaide,
right?
And they were talking up Polak a lot too. They're like, yeah, it's great. He's got to win their best affairs.
Trying to get him over the fans.
In those one of those things where if you watch a lot of Port games, you know who he is, if you're a Port supporter. But he's one of those accumulators that doesn't carry the ball, so you don't see him with it much. But I think he was third for metres gained.
Really?
And he was...
At Port? Or?
Yeah. No, in the league. Legit. Yeah. And he had another top five stat. So he's one of those guys where if the talent identification is on point, and in the past couple of years, as much as you can accuse North of many things, talent identification hasn't been something they've been lacking. They've just been lacking landing those fucking deals.
Yeah. And like when I fix up my resume, I'm like, look, this is what my strengths are. This is what I'm capable of, and this is my potential. So pay me on what I could be, as opposed to what I am now.
Well, that's what you do.
I feel like that's what's going on with Pollock.
You're paying on what you expect to get from them, not what they've delivered previously.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Abler'd be on a lot more money.
By the way, I've just checked it. You are right. He is third meters gained for the league. Who do you reckon's first and second?
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll never get him.
No, there you go.
Jaden Short is number one.
Right.
Jake Lloyd is number two.
Two decent players, though.
Yeah.
Would I pay them $900,000 a year? No.
Yeah. Tommy Mitchell's eighth. So, yeah, so much for that.
So pull your fucking finger out.
It's because when you handball one person then get it back for them, there's not a lot of meters gained. And sometimes it's backwards. Does it, like, does that, they're
not
offset?
A lot of meters gained.
With
top 10.
With the meters gained, is that like an aggregate from like meters like lost?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Or is it just purely meters gained?
It also doesn't count when you boot it long and it gets intercepted.
No, it actually does. But there is a...
Don't fuck with me.
Effective meters gained stat. What are they called? Who does the stats?
Champion Data.
Champion Data, thank you.
Plus they have a fuck ton of stats that aren't available to the public.
Exactly.
Like they like some bored motherfuckers that work for Champion Data, trust me.
There's 8 or 9 Rain Man autistic.
You've either got to be, like Rain Man autistic or just a massive meth addict.
So
Dragon's just an AI.
Maybe both.
Out of 10, we're...
Maybe they make it up and who's going to check it? Who's going to know?
Well, nobody else knows, out of 10... 10 being absolutely positive, it's definitely happening, and 1 being it's never going to happen. How certain are you that Pollack's at North next year?
How have I ever struck you as being anything but utterly optimistic?
No.
Yeah, no, 10 out of 10, Pollack, no. Gaff, Hall, and probably Kelly.
Okay, let's try them one at a time, seeing as that's what I'm fucking doing. So Gaff's a 10, and I reckon 10's actually about right too.
Yeah.
Gaff.
Well, I did see Brad Ebert. Back on Pollack. I'm calling him Pollack because he's Polish, so fuck it. Ebert complained that no one got invited to Pollack's wedding.
Yeah.
It's like, there's journalism and there's just that.
Well, maybe it was just Ebert that wasn't invited.
Ebert,
He's assumed.
I'll fucking show him.
I can see him coming in the change room. Oh, you can't get invited to the wedding? No.
I mean, he was guest columnist in the Advertiser that week, so he had to make up some shit.
You know what? I actually, that could be a thing. He just said, fuck it, I'll make this up.
Yeah.
I mean, not the guest columnist stuff, that's bullshit, but yeah.
You don't put a pass on the AFL players. I mean, you've seen North Melbourne's interviews on the side of the footy record, where it's just stitch up after stitch up.
Yeah. No player has ever done their own.
Yeah, exactly.
What if they can pay me to do that?
They won't pay you, but if it's funny, they'll let you put it in.
They can pay me in merch, because, there's plenty left.
Yeah, North Melbourne.
Yeah, they don't give away merch. we've been North Melbourne games. They don't give away merch ever.
I haven't got a hat for the last 4 years.
You haven't paid for one, that's why.
I did. You have to pick them up. That's the problem.
Oh, there you go. So Gaff then, out of 10.
I think it's one of those ones, if he leaves, he goes to North.
I think so, yep.
But that's been the same with Dusty Kelly. If they leave, they'd go to North, but they did not.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you balance what he feels is a debt to the club at West Coast, and the fact that he's suspended for 5 matches in finals is...
Oh, anything to West Coast isn't good. Those motherfuckers know people.
Was named All-Australian for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, do you then decide to...
You know what, fuck it, I want
chase security.
Yeah.
Particularly because I think his old man's got some issues in Melbourne too, doesn't he?
His old man's on his last legs.
Yeah.
That's enough. Well, that's enough reason to be like, fuck this, I'm going back to Melbourne.
But West Coast finished second. And
they're not. Fuck you, Dad. We don't. My second bitch.
But if you're his old man, you're like, come on, lad, are you sure?
No, this is like, just do what's best for you, but really, I want you home. And
what I'm trying to say is that there's no guarantee his old man will be here next year.
Yeah.
That's kind of, imagine that as a stipulation. Yeah, I'll sign as long as the old man doesn't make it.
A little caveat in the contract.
And meanwhile, North's out there with fucking defibrillators. He's still good. He's still good.
The weekend of burning him into the fucking next game.
He's bought 7 memberships, I fucking swear. Fuck, that went sideways.
They can try anything just to land that big fish.
If they fucking do that.
I reckon, though, obviously North are pretty confident, and that's why they did the delistings that they've done. I think they've also given up on Braden Pruce because he looks like he's looking elsewhere.
Well, it's disappointing because last season he deserved to have a lot more of a game than he did. And probably the first couple of rounds he deserved to crack. But Goldstein has come up, and his last game was his best of the season, which is disappointing in a way.
And he didn't look like it this time last year, did he? It looked like everyone was saying, Goldstein, you know what?
Well, that's a lot of off-field issues going on there, right?
Yeah, it's going the last couple of years as well. Yeah. He really wound back the clock this year.
Yeah.
And he's probably not going to get too far off it. I don't think he's an all-Australian level ruckman like he used to be, because the game's moved on. It's much more mobile than...
And his kicking is shocking at times now.
Yeah.
But having his ability to stick a mark has been decent, which is better than last season, and just finding space.
Puts himself in the right spots.
Yeah.
So on Proust then, if you were his manager or is his old man, you'd be telling him, look at the market.
The market, you put his name out there in social media and saying, hey, Lissette, he's on the market, but Proust, hey, when he did play, he was a gun, and he hasn't got a chance.
It doesn't matter how good his skills are. He's a massive unit, and at the end of the day, he's still that big.
And he's fit.
Well, the rumour was they were talking about Melbourne. I'm like, mate, you're not leaving North Melbourne to go to the number one ruckman in the league.
That's the worst thing he could do.
Honestly, it's one of those ones where I don't want to lose the bloke, but if I'm his manager, I'm saying, mate, look around, because your value is there. And I think there was five teams after him.
I think fit him in the Bulldogs.
GWS is apparently the one that's willing to throw something at him, mainly because North want shit from them, and they can sort something out.
I'll give you a tip. He'll end up at Hawthorn.
Hawthorn?
Yep. Because GWS want a ruckman, but Hawthorn want Dylan Scheel, and they're going to trade Segler and our first pick for Scheel.
Yep.
And then we'll need a backup ruckman. And we haven't got any draft picks left.
Yeah, you can't get all set.
And we go, you know what? We need somebody cheap.
Yeah,
you've been playing the VFL.
That's some good 4D chess by the Hawks, though. If that pans out that way,
that's what we do at trade week.
Yeah. What do you trade for him then?
What do we trade for a bloke that's been sitting in the VFL for two years and played four games?
I'll tell you what,
we'll trade for him: Billy Hartung,
a Guernsey.
We'll give you Billy Hartung again.
He's contracted. You've got to trade something.
It's easily torn up. What contract, Billy? What are you talking about, mate?
What do you want? We'll give you pick 97.
Yeah.
Nah.
And we want returns on that. We'll give you pick 97 for Proust and pick 98.
Well, it's funny how there's two different strategies at the table. There's the Essendon-Adelaide mentality, and then there's the Hawthorn mentality.
Hawthorn is, we're making this fucking deal. Yeah. We're here to make a deal. What do you want?
But it's about building relationships through the season, where they cross the line on the trade table.
Well, Hawthorn have shown they're willing to do stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
apparently fucking not.
Do you want our premiership captain for pick 94? Okay. That's why I love this time of year when they do all the things. And, you know, if there's any journo that comes out and says, this player is looking at moving, all the supporters of that team go, oh, he's a fucking idiot. You know, he doesn't know what he's fucking talking about. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
When you hear it from Hawthorn, you're like, if it's good for us, it'll happen.
Yeah. See, I think that anyone that doesn't get drafted, they should have, this should be the episode of The Recruit, where it's a mandatory, whoever's got the last pick in the draft, that player has to go to that team.
Right.
Like, has to get at least a VFL game. See what happens.
So, the Strawny, they'll call it.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much the Strawny. Put it on, don't put it on Fox, because, I mean, they're shit. Put it on...
Put it on fucking YouTube.
Yeah, put it on YouTube, exactly. Put it on Netflix. Put it on something else.
Yeah.
Like, I love the fact that in AFL, in Formula One, they've got Netflix crew filming a documentary for this entire season. For every team. And they're going to do a 10-part series over next year with this 2018 season.
Lovely.
But they've been bought out by, what's their name? Not IMG, who bought UFC. It's the other one.
Okay, one of those.
One of the media companies. The massive American media company. Yeah. So they've made it mandatory that you've got to open up your inside operations to our cameras, because this is what's going to grow this sport is its fan interaction.
You're giving Hutchie a wet dream right now.
Well, no, I would not do Croc Media, because basically it's fuck Hutchie, fuck that cunt. But someone like Netflix who could do that and push that through. And I think one of the sort of predecessors of that was the book that was written on the Tigers season, the premiership season, which obviously didn't expect them to win the flag at the start of it.
Didn't expect people to read a book either.
This is very true, very true. Or pay for it. You know, just one person pays for it, you photocopy it, and it's old school bootlegging. I'd love to see something like that with the AFL, just to get that fan engagement. And that's the way you can grow this game, not overseas, but in unknown markets.
The problem is that the AFL is a very superstitious place. And remember
very true.
Year of the Dogs?
Yeah.
They did that, and they all thought, you know, this is our year, and they finished third bottom.
Yep.
So I know a lot of clubs going, oh, we should film our season. You see what happens? And they're like, oh, no, you're the Dogs. Oh, yep. didn't work out. Superstitious bunch.
Well, funnily enough, Formula One tried, well, not Formula One, but one of the teams, McLaren, tried this the year before with a driver that was like a gun in the lower leagues, and he's right. coming up, and like they just signed a new deal with a new engine deal. And like, this guy is going to be a world champion, so we're going to get a film crew to follow it all the way through.
And had Alonso.
Yeah, and turns out that was shit, and the driver wasn't very good. And so that film drastically changed from this is this driver season two, this is McLaren and maybe we go good. Nope, this is how you fuck up an F1 team pretty much.
Oh well, what's the Troy Duffy shoot?
Troy Duffy from Boondock Saints.
Yes. The story behind making Boondock Saints.
What was it called? It was Overnight.
Overnight, yeah.
The doco was called Overnight. You know, there's more than one way to shoot yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
It turned out a bit like that.
Yeah, exactly. And, exactly right.
You know what I'm talking about now, don't you? Yeah. So if you haven't seen that doco, well worth it.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen Boondock Saints, watch that.
Yeah, of course.
And then, like, watch the doco and then watch Boondock Saints 2.
You know there's part 3?
Is there?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I'm not sure
if it's out quite yet, but I know it's been filmed.
I love that they followed the Hollywood trend of, like, putting all-girl cast in there.
Well,
like,
did they?
I don't know if they did, but it'd be fucking hilarious. It'd be better than whatever trash they turned out for part 3.
I know they had the chick from Dexter in the second one.
Oh, really? Oh. Which one?
Jessica Carpenter.
The like the actual Dexter's wife?
No, the Dexter's wife one.
Yeah, that's her. That's what you said.
Oh, Julia Benz.
That's it.
What? Did you say Dexter's wife? Anyway.
Fuck. Yeah.
Oh, okay, I don't know.
Not real life wife.
Oh, right.
In the show.
Okay, right. I'm following.
Yeah, because his sister was his real life. Well, anyway, fine. Yeah.
I got to say, that's why you're getting very confused there. Yeah. Anyway.
Say correct, Collingwood fans.
Really gone off track there. But
anyway, on the... I'll go through the free agents for a bit. Andy Odden.
Nah.
He's not going anywhere. Rowan Buick.
Who again?
Nah. Exactly.
Brisbane,
Ryan Lester. Now, if you can spot Ryan Lester in a lineup, I'll fucking give you $5.
Brisbane player, he's done all right this year. I reckon they'll hang on to him.
Yeah, I'll probably hang on to him, but
I'll find a way.
He's not getting mugged walking down the street.
No, he's playing in Brisbane. Nobody knows him.
Jared Blair. Now, Collingwood have Blair, Fazzolo and Goldsack, all as unrestricted free agents. They probably wouldn't mind, they wouldn't hurt by losing them.
Well, especially because, you know, they haven't played much this year and they've gone all right.
Yeah.
And you go, you know what, mate?
And they have youth.
You look at Blair and Stevenson. I mean, they play the same position. And I know which
taking
one I'm
Stevenson,
picking.
Stevenson, for sure, every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
So I think they're all in trouble. Or somebody like Gold Coast, Carlton, are going to pick them up for cheap.
Well, Gold Coast, Carlton and Saints should absolutely have numbers in front of them.
Saints, right. The shit Saints.
But if you're not doing a job unless you've got numbers in front of players like these.
Yeah.
So they should absolutely be doing that. I hope they are.
Those players too, they're not, you know, day one of trade week. Sign them. Yep. You find out where your list is at the end of the trade week and then, you know what, let's take you.
Yeah, it's like a footy trip. You work out how much money got left over on the last day, and that's what you gamble.
Exactly right.
And then we go on to Michael Johnson. Nah.
He's already retired. So yep. Don't worry about him.
George Haaland-Smith. Now, Melbourne don't have that many double bangers.
Yeah, they need a new hyphen, don't they?
Yeah, they do. So
let's put him down for Melbourne.
Yep.
Out of favour a bit at the Cats.
Yeah. And Daniel Menzel, also at the Cats. I think they want to keep him.
Oh, well, they only sold him to... They shopped him around last year. And they couldn't get a buyer, and they signed him to a one-year deal. He's an interesting one because he's had the four knee recos.
Yeah, on his day, he's great.
On his day, he's one of the best goal kickers they've ever had.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's fragile, as you say.
Yeah, but he's done well since he's come back. I'm shocked there wasn't more interest in him.
And sounds like a Hawks player through and through. Bring him in, give him a year to recover, maybe a year and a half. Chuck him on the field.
I'd take him just to piss off Geelong, to be honest. But yeah.
But if you're Geelong, you're not signing him to a multi-year deal. No, it's 1 year.
1 year deals for the rest of his life because he's four new Ricos.
Yeah.
So I think Geelong would have numbers in front of him now, and it's just he'd be asking for two, and they'd be saying no.
No. Yeah. It all come down to money. And I think that, like I said, last year he shopped himself around. He might do it again and see if he can get two anywhere.
And one of the things with Geelong is how their contracts are structured. Like, if they're back-ended with a lot of their big stars, then it's going to be very slim pickings for people trying to get raises or even keeping their current salary.
Well, it probably is, really, because you look at guys like you know, Selwood, Danger, Ablett.
Yep.
They wouldn't expect them to have another 5-6 years in their career. Maybe Dangerfield.
Dangerfield, but not Ablett.
No.
Not Ablett, just because of
not Selwood either.
The way he's been around. Selwood, because he's, I think he's given more blood to the MCG than anyone else ever.
I happened to check during the week. Selwood's never played less than 20 games in a season.
Really?
It's not bad.
Yep.
But he does play hard.
A lot of miles.
Yeah. Okay, who's next on your list? These are just free agents.
Michael Riscatelli.
Riscatelli's retired.
Yep. Taylor Giraia.
Giraia for Hawthorn.
Yep.
He's been in the VFL, so he fell out of favour at mid-year. So he will be one of those ones where I reckon they'll go, look, if you can find an offer, take it.
Yep.
If not, we'll keep you for depth.
Well, again, he's a value pick for other teams.
Exactly.
Same as Hartung was for North.
Yeah. I reckon that's what will happen.
Yeah. Mind you, I think Hartung should get picked up again. I think he was a decent enough player, a bit unlucky.
I think North will. They just want to see how the rest of trade week figures itself out.
Yeah.
So I reckon they'll wait till rookie draft and they'll go, all right, mate, we'll pick you up. If nobody else wants you, we'll take you back.
I mean, he's 23 now, 24 next year, but
yeah.
Dre is in the same boat. I think he'll get his career isn't over if he doesn't get another contract, but I think Hawthorn will have a low ball offer for him.
Played well in the VFL too. Played next to Blinder. And it's got one of the best nicknames going around, Doc.
Doc.
Yep. Doc Dre.
Doc Dre.
Well, his last name's Dre, so
yeah,
Doc
fair Dre. Enough.
I still like Suv Larky better.
Suvo, yeah.
But, I think Dre has a bit of a chance at playing next year, whether it's the Hawthorn or not. But
Absolutely. If he's not at Hawthorn, he'll get picked up. He's a two-time premiership player.
It might depend on Shield, too.
Yeah, exactly.
If they get him, they're like, mate, tell you what, you might want to find somewhere else to sleep tonight.
All right.
Popolo, which obviously he's re-signed.
He just signed today.
Sean Makers.
You've got to keep him.
There won't be a lot of offers for him.
No, and they've actually, every off-season of the last 4 years, they said, mate, if you can get a trade, we'll give you. He goes, no, I don't want one. I want to stay.
Yeah.
Every season, there's a player who's been a bit of a spud who comes good. Sean Makers has come moderate.
His bad games are now very rare. His good games are still, you know what, that's all we need. But he is such a valuable depth player that you've got to sign him. But he's 1 year. You'll get another 1 year contract.
Yeah, he's...
He just doesn't want to leave. And they've offered him and said, mate, you're going to get more game time if you go elsewhere. He goes, no, I'm staying at Hawthorn.
Yeah, he's a bit of silly. There's no more gaps. Like, you reach for him when you need it, but otherwise you leave him in the shed.
Exactly right.
Brendan Whitecross.
Poor lad.
Yeah,
I think his time might be up. But he's somebody that you could take up to Gold Coast. You know, I know it's a bit of a retirement home, but he's always gives his best.
And look, I think they need that.
His best years were robbed with knees. So.
And we look at Brisbane this year, have been so much better than Brisbane last year, and part of that has to be Luke Hodge. Because he's one of those guys that will not accept under commitment from people around him.
He's an on-field coach.
But I think even better, he's an off-field coach on the training track.
Yeah. He sets the culture.
Yeah.
He says, look, if you're not giving 100%, I will beat the fuck out of you. And that's not a metaphor. I'll see you in the car park.
I think it was Witherden who wrote on the Player's Voice that we spoke about the other week. And he said about things that Hodge changed straight away when he came in. And you could see it. He said he's just the way he approaches it, the way he thinks about it. And it's obvious to him.
Yep.
He goes, I never even would have thought of that.
Yep.
It's just that kind of old head. But yeah, I think Whitecross has still got value. Again, he played really well in the VFL on the weekend. He's 30 now.
I completely agree. I think Gold Coast could use him solely if no other reason, for cultural reasons.
Because they can get him.
The other thing is, too, he apparently is Clarkson's favourite player.
Really?
So it's going to make
it happen. Gold Coast want to ask him to bring Clarkson along with him.
Imagine throwing that at the trade table. Well, you know, he's my favourite player, so I have to ask for something. Like, pick 94, okay.
Who's next?
Scott Thompson. Now, let's be honest, no one else is after him.
No.
You'd
sign him for one more, though, wouldn't you?
Well, you kind of have to. I mean,
servant.
Watching the games, Tarrant has taken that role of backline general now, and he's telling Magic where to go.
Yeah,
which that's pretty. I think Thompson has been a bit slower, and he's had a couple of really shit games, but he's been so consistent in the other games that
he might have played 22 games this year, though.
I think he did.
Yeah,
shit, yeah. I mean, I think he's worth keeping, but mind you, playing a 22 or 100 and odd. Is not a reason for North to keep a player.
Well,
yeah.
North love axing a player.
Oh, they got rid of Gibson last year.
The favourite pastime is just kicking a player in the balls and telling them to get the fuck out.
Yeah, you can find sentiment between fucking sanity and syphilis at North Melbourne in the dictionary. That's about it.
Pretty much.
But Keep him around because he's not going to cost you much, being a veteran and everything.
And he's not going to get picked up if he goes on the
No,
team.
I can't see him. I mean, maybe place at Gold Coast offered him because they could use a player like that. But would he go? Probably not.
Yeah.
All right. And I think he'll be a one-club player. Sam Wright be the next one. Again, same boat.
Yeah, exactly.
He might be kept. And it'll depend on North's list management based on that. But if he's not, yeah, he's off to the VFL or SANFL or some shit. Justin Westhoff. There should be a lot more interest about
him. He's not going anywhere.
He's
one of those ones that they won't even... There is a 0% chance he leaves.
Shaggy do ain't going nowhere.
Now, see, you say that, but if you're a team like Gold Coast Saints, Carlton, you should be making that phone call.
Yeah, you're right. They'll ask, but he's not the type of player that'll leave. And Port Adelaide still believe they're a premiership chance this year, let alone next year.
Yeah,
They're not playing finals, and they still think they're a chance.
I agree, but you should be putting pressure on Port Adelaide to at least give him a decent offer. Because at the very least, you make Port Adelaide spend more of their salary cap.
Not going to matter. Not going to matter at all.
No, but if you cost them more of the cap, you can get Robbie Gray next year.
It's just like, you know, when people try to put pressure on DeGoey last year. They went, no, I want to stay at Collingwood. Yeah. I'll stay for unders. He'll stay for unders at Port Adelaide, no matter what you throw his way.
Yeah, but he'll be less unders.
Yep.
Play the long game is what I'm saying. Reece Conker. Yeah, he's going nowhere.
He's going nowhere.
No one's taking
that. Sean Griggs, same.
I don't know. Ruckman's big on the market there at the moment.
Is it between him and Lysette? You go, well, one's won a premiership.
Well, Bruce in there too. You're like, shit. Yeah, this guy has proven he can do it.
Sam Gilbert, who, well, he's probably going to retire.
He's
been cut.
Delisted by the Saints.
Saints, and I mean, if you're taking Saints off cuts, then holy shit, you're going for draft picks next season.
Yeah, ain't happening. Mark Lacroix.
He won't be leaving.
I can't see him leaving solely because he has been fragile. Great player on his day.
Of course he is.
But his day also involves being the third tall around Darling and Kennedy.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're taking the third best backman and you're also fragile, I don't think many teams see value.
Yeah.
And West Coast are still going to be up and about next year.
Obviously.
So
still in the premiership window. He's going nowhere.
I can't see him going. Eric McKenzie. Nah.
He's a chance because he's not playing. He hasn't been playing all year. And that back line, you know, with Hearn and McGovern, he's not moving either of those on. So if somebody wants to pick him up, they can. He's gettable. Otherwise, he retires.
I can't see him wanting to go anywhere.
I can't see him getting another contract at West Coast.
I guess it depends on their off season and also their injury list because they've shown they need depth.
They don't want him. Seriously.
No, see how they go. Luke Dowhouse. There should be a lot of interest in him, and there's been a little.
Already done.
Oh, he's already been signed. That's right.
No,
he's gone, isn't he?
He's already told the Bulldogs he's done.
Yeah.
And Geelong have already got an offer in front of him, so he'll sign with Geelong.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That was the whole Geelong. A few more midfielders, wouldn't hurt.
And the other one, Tom Liberatore. Now, look, he's one of those guys where his best is spectacular. And he's aggressive, he's hungry, he sets a record for tackles in a couple
games. He's already
gone
too. He's already signed for the Saigon Tigers.
the Saigon Swans, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, it was too. Yeah. Swans. Saigon Tiger was the fucking dodgy criminal we talked about in a gambling episode.
Long time ago. He's got an offer from the Bulldogs, but it's a little bit unders. But, he's just gone through a knee recovery.
He's not demanding overs for any contract.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
But it seems like a bit of criticism about him is all about his off-field shit. Which is the same sort of criticism.
It's a lot of shit.
Well, yeah, but is it that much more than what Dusty had a couple of years back?
Yeah, it's much more.
Well, Dusty assaulted someone with chopsticks.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. He
was drunk.
He
in
insinuated
public.
That something may happen, potentially, if you're going to annoy somebody. I think that's fair. That's like social etiquette.
It was reminding
you know what I mean?
the young lady.
It was in a restaurant, a high class restaurant, too.
Mr. Miyagi's,
wasn't it? Yeah, and it was, too. Yeah, and. Still a little cocaine in the toilets, you know what I mean? Whereas, as you do in Mr. Miyagi's.
Whereas Tom Liberatore is found passed out in front of a nightclub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And doing fuck tons of ketamine.
Yeah.
Oh, the old, what was that little, Didac.
Didac.
The old Didac. He hasn't run away from a cab, though, has he?
I think if we're talking about
AFL... He's probably run towards a cab, head on.
If we're talking about AFL players that are passed out at nightclubs, I think it's a slightly bigger list than that as well.
Yeah.
But anyway,
still involves Collingwood, though.
Yeah. Is that the end of the free agency?
Oh, that's the unrestricted. There's 43 restricted free agents.
Yeah, let's not go through that.
No. There's like seven.
Well, Lynch, obviously.
Tom Lynch. Yeah. He's the big one.
He's done and dusted.
It was reported today that it is. Everyone thought he's going to Richmond.
Not even excited. Don't care.
Well, I don't... Well, that's no excitement, but...
A lot of the players today are very into their US sports.
Yeah.
And I think this has got a lot of Kevin Durant.
It does. It really, really does. Really, really does.
I don't like it.
No, me neither. But it doesn't sit right.
I'm a bit of an old school, you know, like, was it Jordan said, you know, when he was coming up, you know, there was Magic and Larry, he goes, I didn't want to play with them. I wanted to beat them.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly right.
And yep. I go back to 2005, where Clarkson and Lee just come in at Hawthorn, and Shane Crawford went, he sacked all my mates, you know, this isn't right. He was gone to the Sydney Swans.
Yeah.
Then the Swans won the premiership, and he said, I can't do it.
Yeah. It's not right. Yeah.
And I like that mentality.
Yeah. And Crawford regretted it ever since.
Yeah, did he? That's why Lynch, like I said, I wanted him to stay at the Gold Coast, even though Hawthorn was in the running for him. I wanted him to stay there. But he's on the market. He's more value to us or Collingwood than he is to Richmond. But obvious why he's got picked Richmond.
Well, the AFL obviously wants him at Gold Coast. Does he play polo? Can he look after little kids?
I reckon he's taken about a 400K cut to come to Melbourne.
I hope so. I hope it's more. I don't want to try and get him in at all costs. I want someone to come in and fuck up the small forward line we've got happening that's winning games.
Everything's working.
Yeah.
Tigers are clearly the broke. Best.
Don't fix it. So I'd offer him massive unders. And if you want to jump on the bandwagon, then you still have to pay your dues. You're not a certainty in because you're a high star.
Hey, you don't have any Jews. Don't bullshit.
You've got
Muslims. You can't have both.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Come on.
No, you can't. No.
Shit will get pear-shaped very quickly.
He's got you there.
I don't know. We'll have Rewalt mediate it. You know, not like a German mediated Middle Eastern conflict.
That can't fucking go.
All right, so that one's done.
But on the next part, Bashahuli. Again, look, absolutely is staying.
Yeah.
But again, you have your... if you're in the bottom 14... You owe it to at least have a chat.
He's not going
to. He would be fucking stupid to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
Already talked to his cousin at the fruit and veg shop in Bulleen Plaza. He's staying.
Stupid if you're not talking to him or his manager.
Nobody's leaving Richmond.
Gaff, obviously, being the restricted free agent that he is.
There is 0% chance, I think, that West Coast will match as well. I reckon if he wants to go, they won't force a trade. I think they'll take the compo pick.
Well, they'd be mad not to, because North are probably going to trade their 10 pick for Pollock, Pollock and a second rounder or something.
Yeah, I'm going to say, actually, when you think about it, though, if West Coast do match, their compo pick's not going to be very good, because it's going to be like pick 20 or something.
Yeah.
Because after the compensation picks, it'll go into the lower clubs, and then they get theirs after their first round, which is likely to be pick 19 or something like that, seeing as they finish second. But anyway, that'll be interesting how that plays out.
But then they can use that to obviously
trade on. Whatever.
On the flip side, they could say, well, look, we're going to lose Lysette. Natnu is out. You've got a ruckman we could probably use.
It could do.
And we'll say, all right, here's Zeri. You can have him. There's more column inches talking about what Gaff's doing than we'll ever get onto.
Yeah.
But he's coming to North. You heard it here first, and he signed.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Scott Lysette, he's gone.
Gone to Port, by all accounts.
And that's what your backup, Nick Natanui, who's shown to be pretty fragile, going to Paddy Ryder, who's
shown to be pretty fragile.
Yeah.
not a bad effort.
So his resume is on point with that one. And look, fair play.
Hey, make money while the hay shines.
Fuck yeah. Jordan Ruffhead. Now, he's one that I think teams will look at, but not for a lot of cash.
West Coast, apparently. He's already had a trip over there to have a look. Interesting.
So Freo it is.
Freo it is.
And then Mitch Wallace. I like the kid.
He has an offer on the table, but it's not as big as he hoped.
Yeah,
I like him as well.
Yeah, me too.
I'd pick him up.
I think it's one of the best things coming out of the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think the most memorable play I saw him have, two plays, I guess, were against North, where his kick cost them the match.
Yeah,
and North come back.
Yeah.
And the very next week, he had the same option and managed to deliver on it.
And against Geelong.
Yeah, and won the match. So, to me, that's just a player that fucked up once, but his general ability to...
Can kick
own the ball.
Yeah,
he's a hard inside midfielder that can kick goals.
Yeah,
I like him. I don't know why that they've fallen out of favour with him.
Again, if you're a bottom 10 side, get numbers on him.
Yep,
shit.
But he's loyal as shit, though. That's it.
Well, that is it too. But again,
it's hard to be loyal to a sinking ship.
Yeah,
yeah. It's one of those ones where if you're, you know, the list manager for, let's say St Kilda, you're like, look, mate,
do they have one?
Let's assume. I think they just ditto what North Melbourne's doing and then add $10.
I think it's just someone going, nah, we're good, man. We're good. We're finals next year.
Yeah, Revolt's out there. Let's say Carlton. You know, you've gone in there with a busy bag, and you've got to have a chat with Mitch Wallace. You've got to be in there and say, mate, look, loyalty's good, but...
So he's playing 22 games.
You can play 22 games, and we have fuck tons of cash.
Yeah.
Like lots.
And you can live in St Kilda instead of Footscray.
Yeah. Think of the money you've got, and then add more money to it.
Yeah.
And then you can move out of Footscray and into the Western world.
Think of all the perms you could get, mate. All right.
But, they're all the... free agents, and obviously there's Kelly and Shield, which
lots more trading now. That's what I like about the free agency, is it's forced clubs to think 1 year in advance.
Yeah,
it's like, well, if he's a free agent next year, I get fuck all, so I can trade him now while he's still got value.
Yeah,
or Jono's just like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that'll do us for this week.
Oh, hang on,
hang on.
We got more.
Shield, what do you reckon the chances are of getting him this year?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's
done deal.
Like I told you, it's going to happen. It's Segler plus our first pick.
Yeah.
All right, then I'm backing up Kelly coming north as well. So we've got five Brownlow medalists next year.
Done.
All right.
I'm just joking. And Buddy is captain of the All-Australian team. What are your thoughts? I'm just joking. Fuck this. We're done.
See ya.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.